Now on News Talk, as part of our Drama on News Talk series, we bring you an original drama from producer Conor McGinnity following three political hopefuls as they vie for a place in the Dáil in The Seat.
Describe myself in five words. Wow. Five words isn't a lot. How can anyone describe themselves in five words?
Five words. Up for the crack. Hey. That's important in this kind of thing, though. You have to keep the spirits up. Have to connect with people, you know. Sure, didn't Obama win because he liked to take a drink? Nothing wrong with it.
I am conscientious, hardworking, and above all else, diligent.
Even though my uncle was a TD, I've never really been that interested in politics. But when the thing with Uncle Shamey happened, I don't know. I think it snapped me out of a daze or something. I thought maybe I should try to engage with the whole system, even a little bit. I'm Justin McMahon. You're listening to my documentary special for News Talk FM, The Seat. Gary Collins has long been involved in the struggle against oppression on behalf of the Irish people, as was his father's great-uncle, Michael Collins. I reached out to local historian Noel Markey when researching the link. He said he would get back to me, but he hasn't been seen since. Collins invited me to his new office where he was holding a meeting of the Loud 1916 Rising Centenary Committee. So you've joined the Loud 1916 Rising Centenary Committee. It's good to see you're making yourself at home here.
What's that supposed to mean?
I mean because you just moved down.
I'll have you know I've always considered this county my home.
I thought you grew up in Armagh.
South Armagh. And the people of South Armagh and North Louth have always had a kinship, unbroken by imperialistic foreign occupation and imaginary boundaries. But I wouldn't expect you to understand.
I really don't.
I know who you are, Justin McMahon, nephew of Shamey McMahon. I know apples don't rot far from the tree. My shirt is green like a Granny Smith, yours is blue like...
Gary, I can assure you I've no party allegiances.
Well, that just means you haven't voted for us. But I suppose you haven't voted for them either. There's hope for you yet, so I can agree to a ceasefire.
Great. Do I need to sign anything? Gary showed me around his office, which was empty save for one computer and a supposedly decorative pistol, which he claims was used by his Uncle Mike during the War of Independence. So where's the rest of your campaign staff, Gary?
I don't really have a set staff per se. I do have a brigade of regulars I'd often call into action. We make a fierce flying column dashing from the political undergrowth to exact swift and effective retribution.
Like what?
Well, just last week we successfully lobbied the council and had a dangerous pothole filled in Fatima.
Right. So tell me about the 1916 committee, what you've achieved so far.
Ah, the committee, yes. Well, actually, Justin, there's been a change of plan. I'm forming my own committee. I felt the powers that be on the official committee weren't being completely respectful to the heroes' relatives, of which I am one. Have you ever heard of Jimmy Emmett? No? Well, he's the great-grandson of a rising hero by the name of Bernie Emmett. In May 1915, Bernie swiped the hat off an RUC officer's head, distracting him and allowing the North Louth branch of the ICA to slip into the back of O'Neill's pub. Whereupon they drew up the plan to march to Dublin in August of that year. And sure, the rest is history. Of course, the North Louth ICA broke up before they had a chance to go to Dublin and meet Connolly. And Bernie himself was in Cavan at a market the day of the Rising. But some would say that without his actions, the Rising would never have succeeded, and we would still be under the yoke of the Crown to this day. And the committee here hasn't even heard of him, let alone plan to honour the contribution he and many others like him made to our freedom.
That's some story, Gary. So yours is the real committee?
I wouldn't say real, more provisional. I just couldn't face wee Jimmy Emmett knowing his great-grandfather wouldn't get justice. So we'd be holding our own celebration next year.
Well, is there anything in particular you're planning?
Well, we were thinking we could recreate the GPO scene at the town hall and get himself to come down and give a speech.
What scene?
You know the bit where they're shooting the cannons and there's flames everywhere and the English fella's shouting, fire, fire!
The seen from the film, Michael Collins.
Yeah, what else?
And who would you get down to do a speech?
The big fella, Liam Neeson.
Right. It's just, well, he's an actor.
Sure, I know that.
He's not really Michael Collins.
He's as good as, though. Everyone would recognise him. I know we'd have to pay him, but we've 10,000 put aside already and we'll get more.
How much do you have?
10 grand. That's mostly sterling now, funnily enough.
I see. And would there be a taste in it for you, for your costs and whatever?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Overheads and administration. Very important to consider. Stationery has gotten very expensive.
This is Ethna Harrington, an English teacher and part-time lecturer as well as political hopeful. I got a C in her class for the leaving, but she's not so bad. I met her on a damp grey day down the quays, where her campaign got off to a rocky start. Hello, Ethna?
This is a disaster. Mary on a bike, what am I going to do?
Ethna Harrington?
Oh yes, sorry. Hello, how are you, potential constituent? Is there anything I can help you with?
I'm Justin McMahon. We agreed to meet today for the interview, remember?
That was today?
We can reschedule if you'd like.
No, it's fine. Jason, was it?
Justin.
Oh, just in time to see everything go horribly wrong, huh?
Good one. What's the problem?
Well, Laurel wanted me to get plastic posters, the normal ones, but I insisted on getting fair trade biodegradable ones. And look.
What happened?
They've biodegraded.
They're not that bad.
I look like a monk painting.
What effect will this have on your campaign?
A big one. I'll let you in on a little secret, Justin. I bought a load of posters because I thought it would save on canvassing. It's not really my strong suit. People don't like me. Apparently they think I'm obtuse and prétentieuse. I really shouldn't have bought these from a developing region.
It says proudly made in Leash.
Oh, I thought that said Laos. Well, it's not the damn Congo, but have you ever been there? Ghastly place altogether. I'd better ring Laurel, she'll know what to do.
Laurel Quinn is a former student of Ethel's. She was a few years ahead of me in school. Laurel is her communications officer, graphic designer, canvasser, personal assistant, and pretty much everything else in between.
Laurel? Yes, she's my campaign manager. She basically runs everything, but she's more than that. She's my best friend, really. I met her when she was a student of mine. Very bright. Very talented. Very... just very, you know. I had her for the leaving cert, and she came up to me at the end of the last term and gave me a book, Oranges Are Not the Only Fruit, which I still have. I think that's really when I knew that she would make a great campaign manager if I ever ran for office. But yeah, it's nice to have someone out on the trail with you.
Paddy the Gibbon Fitzgibbon features heavily in local historian Noel Markey's six-book series on the Intermediate County Hurling Championship of 1982. One account from a teammate heavily mythologises his arms and their abundant phallicity. Hairiest arms in the league, young Paddy had. You don't see much of them now, they're covered up by the suits. But the rival team knew something was going to happen when they saw those badgers flashing out of the corner of their eyes and he'd go screaming for the goal. Many's a pint he'd whack over and they'd be left with nothing but a handful of four. There wouldn't be a yelp out of him though. They'd be taking tufts out of him all day, but it wouldn't matter. Take more, take it all, he'd say. An animal. The Gibbon.
My team. Sure, haven't I the whole county looking out for me? Well, the ones with sense anyway. Being in a political party like I am, it's like a singles night at the racetrack. A few scoops, some laughs, and a little flutter with some like-minded people, hey.
The Gibbon was running on a businessman of the people platform. So the day after Ethna's poster mishap, I met him on a tour of local businesses. Of all the candidates, the Gibbon was the most like my Uncle Shamie. So I was actually looking forward to spending the afternoon with him.
Justin McMahon, the lad himself.
Hi, Mr. the Gibbon.
Mr. the Gibbon was my father. Just call me Paddy. Awful what happened to poor old Shamie. Awful altogether. Although in fairness, he was very, very corrupt. I mean, you can forgive a little bit of the brown envelope foxtrot. Makes the world go round, but you can't get caught.
Paddy, I'm recording this.
Oh, is that what this is? Right. What I meant was, did I ever tell you about the time I captained the Jerry senior team back in 79? Got to the club final and everything. Didn't win that one, as you know, but it's not all about what you do on the day. It's the run-up to it as well. That's how I feel about the politics. It's not always the result. It's getting people behind you, getting them involved. So that's how the fan club started.
Fan club?
Oh, aye. It was set up by a woman named Mary. She's the chairperson. Founded in 1978 when I first broke onto the Jerry's panel. And they've been keeping track of me ever since. There aren't many members now. Unless you want to join. There's a quarterly newsletter, swimsuit edition, this month.
No thanks. I'd imagine your arms feature heavily in that.
Oh yeah, the arms. I was blessed with them. The man above saw fit to grant me prodigious talent with a hurl and the forearms of a gorilla to go with it.
A gibbon.
Huh?
A gibbon, you have the forearms of a gibbon.
And my name's Paddy Fitzgibbon. That's gas.
Your followers have been calling you that for years.
I know that, I just thought it was a nickname. Like we used to call Wallace the Wall or Dickinson the Sun.
There was a piece in the paper about you and they took the photos in the zoo at the ape enclosure.
I thought that was just a bit of crack.
They took a gibbon out and had you pose your arms next to his. I've seen the piece.
You know, the more you talk about it, the more obvious it becomes. Anyway, I was a fierce hurler. If this was a smaller county, I would have broken onto the senior panel, and that's for sure.
We're in Louth.
I mean smaller as in population-wise.
How much smaller would we have to be?
If there had been one less person in this county, that spot in midfield would have been mine.
Just one?
Yes. The GAA were running a sort of affirmative action programme to make sure the country lads got a look in. The Access for Rural Stars Equality Scheme or something.
And that's how you lost out?
Yeah. Some bumpkin from the wilds of Termon Feckin got the spot. Eddie Cash. He fashioned his own hurl out of a hawthorn branch. Real famine stuff. Oh, the media loved it. Oh, that's me manager. I'm probably late. I have a meeting with a PR guru down from Party HQ. Hello, pet. Just finishing up an interview. There in five. All right, love. Tell him I'm on the way.
I thought that was your manager.
Me daughter. Same person. This politics thing is a family affair. Listen, do you mind if we finish this another time?
That's grand. I have what I need anyway.
Right, so. Are you heading home? I'm going that way if you need a lift.
That'd be great, thanks.
Just put your gear on the back seat there. So, how's your mother keeping?
Grand, yeah. She's getting the house ready for my sister coming home from Australia.
Did she get a job at home?
Yeah, her company opened a branch in Dublin, so she's getting transferred.
That's brilliant. Good to see things turning around, isn't it? Of course, it's all down to the current government and their tireless efforts to reverse our economic woes.
That's it, yeah.
And the radio stuff, is it going well for you?
It's not bad, I'm kept going. It's good to have an opportunity to do something.
Oh, this is it. This is you here, isn't it?
The next one. Oh, anywhere here is fine, though. Thanks.
Grand, here we are. Tell them all I was asking for them.
Will do. See you again, Paddy. Thanks. Paddy gave me a lift home after I met and interviewed him on the trail. I left my recorder in the back seat of his car and only remembered it later that day. I had to listen back to see if I could find something usable. Paddy singing along to the radio, maybe even a phone call discussing tactics with his consultant. What I did hear was something shocking.
Quick, quick.
Well?
I have something for you.
What is it?
Are you followed?
I told Laurel I was going to the shop. No one saw me get into your car.
Good.
What's with all this cloak and dagger stuff anyway? You said it was important?
Glove compartment. No, wait. Under your seat.
Where did you get this?
Public record. You just have to know the right questions to ask. It deserves to be out there.
Yeah, but isn't this a little bit smeary?
I don't think so. It's of benefit to both of us, and the public have a right to know. Just think, what have he won?
All right.
I didn't know what this mysterious exchange between the two meant. Not then, anyway. As if that wasn't enough, moments after Esna got out of the car, something else happened.
I'll be there in less than a minute.
Paddy!
Shut up, Gary. What if someone hears you?
I'm sorry, you have the wrong number.
That's more like it.
I'll see you at our secret meeting spot, Paddy. Bye.
Oh, why do I bother?
Well, boy, how's she cutting now? This takes me back. The secret meetings, mysterious phone calls. What's the target, Paddy?
I find it very hard to believe you were ever involved in any organization that practiced subterfuge.
Hold on a second now. I definitely was not a member of any organization.
Yeah. We're not on the news now.
What's the crack then?
What if I told you I knew a way we could do untold damage to one of our rivals?
I know a few lads that could do that. Thanks, though.
Political damage.
I'm listening.
I don't have the evidence yet, but I've heard rumours of a sort that would not only sideline our intellectual adversary, but put her out of the game altogether.
We're playing hardball now, are we? Nails sticking out of the hurl, sand in the face, elbow in the groin kind of stuff.
My reputation precedes me. I have nothing concrete yet, but I have me best people on it.
It was obvious Paddy was trying to play the other two off against each other. Was this Dirty Tricks campaign sanctioned by the powers that be, or was Paddy a rogue agent? I racked my brain for answers. I honestly couldn't credit him with the intelligence necessary for an operation this cunning, especially when I heard the last act in his little saga.
Hello? No, you're not in hands-free. There's no one in the car anyway. It's done. All accomplished. They're armed and waiting for me signal.
This was all very unusual. I didn't have all the facts, so I decided to keep this newfound information under my hat. For now. I'm here at a fairly common spectacle in this day and age, a protest at the site of a water meter installation. What's unusual is not the size of the crowd that has gathered, although it is large, but the fact that not one, but all of those vying for the seat in the upcoming by-election have turned out. Why? The meter is being installed at Gary Collins' new house, and he is, quote-unquote, standing up to the big fella and refusing to allow the sovereignty of his domicile be compromised by the jackboot of the aquatic oppressor. The rest of them are here because they don't want him getting all of the attention.
Hear ye, hear ye. I am sick to the teeth of the many and varied charges the current government has levied upon us. I'm relatively new in these parts, and already I can't believe it. I even have to pay for my bins, and this is supposed to be the free state.
It's not that bad, Gary. Look,
the great Paddy Fitzgibbon and the luxurious Ethna Harrington have turned up.
Hello, Gary. I think you might mean illustrious.
Ceramics. Anyway, what are you saying about the water charges, Paddy? Come up to the front, the pair of you.
Hello all. As usual, I relish the opportunity to speak to my hopefully future constituents about matters that are evidently of great importance to them. Thank you.
As a member of the current ruling party, are you in favour of the proposed charges?
I am in favour of affordable water for all.
So, we should have to pay for the water that falls from the sky, goes through a natural filtration process and finds its way into our taps.
I believe there are other alternatives, Gary. Dunn's are doing a great 2-for-1 in Evian at the minute.
What about you, Ethna?
Well, I believe that if a high quality service is provided to benefit the people of this country, it is reasonable to expect the benefactors of said service to proportionately compensate the state and other bodies for the provision and maintenance of the aforementioned service.
What?
She said we should pay. I heard her.
My caveat was that a high quality service should be paid for. It's highly doubtable that this is such a service. I'm against an empty tax that only exists so the government can raise enough funds to proffer to their masters in Europe, only to be patted on the head and thrown a few crumbs from the banqueting table.
I think you've lost that one, Paddy.
And what about you, Gary? full time on your home turf and you've been left wanting.
Extra time given. Watch this. I'm not here to talk the talk. Watch as I, Gary Collins, confound and mesmerise the authorities by chaining myself to the water meter intended for my own property.
Gary, no!
Your concern is touching, Harrington, but a line must be drawn.
It's not safe. Look at those machines and that workman there. Can't be more than 17. Does he even have a safe pass?
You're right. I never checked.
Please reconsider, Gary. I couldn't bear it if something happened to you.
If you feel that strongly about it, due to safety concerns outside my control, I am forced to postpone my act of civil disobedience.
An open goal and you missed, Collins.
Guys, how about a proper forum for this discussion? Some of the people can hear you engage with each other and tackle the issues that really matter.
Fine with me.
And me.
I wouldn't mind doing this summer a bit warmer.
You're listening to The Seat on News Talk 106 to 108.
All right, listeners, we're here for a final round of short interviews and then we'll head into our debate streaming live across the web. Hashtag LLGD, that's the Late Late Great Debate. First up, we're going to have a few words with each of our candidates where they will briefly outline the main issues they're running on. Esme, you first. Have you had any concerns leading up to this election?
I must confess that sometimes I feel a little bit out of touch. So I've been having some coaching with my manager, Laurel. Pop culture references, that sort of thing.
Don't you feel if your issues are important enough, people are going to connect with them anyway?
Oh, nobody's going to listen to your issues if you don't connect with them. Knowing what's going on in the world is one way of doing that.
And what is going on in the world?
ISIS capturing swathes of territory. Drone strikes. Silencing of journalists.
But do you know who Macklemore is?
Isn't he the guy who does the documentaries?
Why don't you tell us something about your campaign platform?
Policy-wise, I've always felt we need to tackle the culture of rote learning and the exam pressure that comes with it.
That's certainly an ambitious goal. How would you set about implementing it?
I'd start with regulating grinds. They're just another form of private education that contributes to the points culture. We need to attract better teachers too. Hike the pay, make university harder. It's increasingly been seen as an easy number. That needs to go.
Wouldn't that create more exam pressure for students hoping to become teachers?
No. Well, maybe it would at first, but it would even out as the quality of education got better, I think.
Paddy, we'll hear from you next. Members from all three parties represented here hold seats in the Dáil. How would you feel about working alongside them should you be elected?
If it were up to me, Justin, only the strongest players would be on the first team. Like you said, there are those in the Dáil that aren't part of the majority ruling party, and really have no business being there. Let me put it this way. If this was a hurling team, and I was captain of that hurling team, well, they wouldn't be on the hurling team much longer.
What's that supposed to mean, Paddy?
Are we allowed to interrupt each other, Justin?
Sounds like you're in favour of installing a fear-mongering monarchy in place of a democratically elected government.
That's not true. When a team gets to the top of the table, it's only right they reap the rewards.
That all sounds very masculine and patriarchal.
Are you scared of competition? Is that it, Paddy?
Not from you, anyway.
And what about me?
You're the only one I'm worried about, Etna.
Don't show your back to me, Paddy.
I will flash any part of my anatomy to any man I please.
That's disgusting.
I didn't mean it like that. Justin, strike that comment from the record.
Easy now, Paddy. Your red face is clashing with your blue shirt.
All right, guys, let's keep it professional. Paddy, how about you outline your policies for us?
All right. Policy-wise, I'd be all about the sports. More money for the GEA, maybe a few quid for the lads. Bit of a pension fund for the old heroes, huh?
Would you qualify for this pension?
Well, maybe. I'd call it the captain's fund. There's a lot of responsibility in leading a group of young men to sport and glory. It's not all just drinking and playing matches. Oh, there's a fair bit of training involved as well. A couple of times a week, like. That's something that should be recognised throughout life.
That's great. Gary, over to you. You don't seem to have any staff involved in your campaign.
All these goons and their entourages. I don't need any handling. I'm a lone wolf, a stealthy assassin. Not actually an assassin, of course, just metaphorically. I was never a member of any violent organisation. I don't condone that sort of thing. Anyway, I've got the power of social media behind me. Look, I've got over 100 followers on Twitter. Gary Collins, number one, that's me. How many do you have, Paddy?
I'm more focused on Bebo, to be honest. A reliable source has informed me it's making a comeback.
Can we hear about your politics, Gary?
The fight I'm currently in is over northern registration cars in border counties. There's no checkpoint Charlie at the border. It's just a feeling you get crossing into another jurisdiction. So I feel it would be reasonable for the government to allow a certain zone of exclusion, whereby some of us based in the south were allowed to drive a car that was registered in the north. It would save the taxpayer a couple of pound, and it promotes cross-border cooperation and all of that. Sure, we're so close geographically, it doesn't make sense to have two different systems. You know, if you're in a southern reg car and you pop over the border to get your kids a few fireworks for the weekend, that's technically illegal. But my way will reduce the amount of crime being committed.
Are you serious? Do you honestly think people are going to go for that?
I wish I'd thought of it.
Let's start our next section. Hello and welcome back. You're listening to The Late Late Great Debate with me, Justin McMahon. For any new listeners, we have three candidates for the recently vacated Dáil seat in the studio with us today. Independent candidate Ethna Harrington.
Hello. Oh, is this on? Are we live?
Yes, it's on, Miss Harrington. We can hear you nice and clear there.
Oh, great. I'd just like to say, first of all, that...
Just a brief intro, Ethna. We have to hear from everyone equally.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
Okay, next we have local legend Paddy Fitzgibbon.
Hi there, Justin. No nerves here. That's what comes from being used to performing on a large scale. The hurling pitch, I mean.
Of course. And our visitor from across the border, Gary Collins.
Hardly just a visitor now, in fairness, Justin. I have a PPS number and everything. No nerves here either. Public speaking runs in my blood. Uncle Mike, that's Michael Collins to you, was a great orator.
All right, it's heating up in here already, folks.
Justin, I get sick of the visitor jibe sometimes. You all act like I'm some sort of Martian. But do I look like an alien? No, I don't. My blood is as green as any of theirs, green in an Irish way. And for the record, I'll be moving into my house in Dundalk just as soon as the Gardaí have concluded their investigation.
That's what we promised you, ladies and gentlemen. A flurry of political insight, a daring game of chess. The candidates have sharpened their minds, their wits and their tongues. Not literally, of course, but metaphorically. Vying for that prize seat in the Dáil, the seat of power, the Iron Throne.
Oh, Game of Thrones. I know that one. It was in my notes.
Game of Thrones is right, Ethna. That brings us to our first question for the candidates. Paddy, what's your favourite TV show?
Oh, that's a tough one, Justin. But when it comes down to it, I'd have to say The Sunday Game.
Quelle surprise.
Hey, now The Sunday Game is a national institution, and I wouldn't expect you to understand.
Why? Because I'm a woman?
No, because you're a nerd.
I've always liked historical documentaries. My great uncle, Mike...
I am not a nerd.
Well, for a rebuttal, Ethna, what do you like to sit down to and watch in the evening?
I like prime time occasionally, but usually I prefer to read.
Huh? Reading? See, I told you. Nerd.
Well, at least I can. Do you read? Have you ever read? Or are your knuckles too busy scraping off the ground to pick up a book, you sweaty, hairy, slack-jawed Neanderthal?
As I was saying, there's a great programme about my ancestor, the 1916...
The ordinary people of this county don't know what a Neanderthal is, Edna. And this is what I'm talking about. The disconnect between the politicians and the people and the likes of Etna here trying to talk down to us. And the politicians and our boot.
Indeed, Paddy. Point made. More political intrigue coming up on The Late Late Great Debate after these. And we're off air. Take two, everyone.
Scared, Paddy? You can almost hear the hairs on your arms retreat back into their follicles.
Scared? Me? You didn't get me. No man or woman can get a hold on the gibbon, I'll tell you. Here, Justin, just throw us an easy one after the break, will you?
Paddy, you know I can't show favouritism.
Come on, just something about artsy-fartsy types versus the real people or something.
I know your Uncle Joe.
I have to stay neutral, Paddy.
Listen, I'll buy you a pint later.
Welcome back to the Late Late Great Debate. This question is for Paddy Fitzgibbon. How do you feel politicians could be more in touch with the ordinary people of this country?
Fix.
Well, Justin, now this is an issue that I care very deeply about. I only touched on the surface before the break there. You see, the people of this county need a real loud person to represent them.
Hey, South Armagh is just as loud as anywhere else.
Are you saying I'm not a real loud person, Paddy?
You're not a loud person, you're a loud politician.
Excuse me?
Loud is a state of mind, Ethna.
Yeah. Loud is lining the pitch with house paint and a 30-centimetre ruler before the match.
Loud is the smell of hops and green diesel in the air.
It's the drunken walk down the hard shoulder of the motorway at 4 a.m.
Accidentally dropping a lit cigarette in some stubborn gorse.
In fairness, Gary, that's illegal.
Accidentally.
I think what Gary's trying to say is that even though he's not from here, he's more loud than Etna. And I'm more loud than either of them.
Can't argue with that.
Look at these two agreeing with each other. It's like 1998 all over again. Etna, have you anything to add?
I think we're being distracted from the real issues here.
Well, we'll take that as a no then. Coming up on the Late Late Great Debate. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Are you keeping an eye on the Twitter feed?
No, I've been too busy to check it.
There's a good one about Paddy after coming in. Check it out.
Welcome back to the Late Late Great Debate. I'm Justin McMahon, and we're going to try out a new segment on the show now. A segment where you, the public, get to have your say. And we've had a lot of interest on Twitter already. Well, we have a good one here for one of our candidates, Paddy the Gibbon Fitzgibbon. We have a tweet here from Fenian420 that says, and this may be upsetting for some listeners, it says that the hair on your arms isn't real.
What the hell is this?
That's serious. That's one for the books now.
It says that back in the day when you were hurling, you used to glue the hair onto your arms. Is this true?
Of course it's not true. What sort of hogwash is that? Who is this Fenian420? Is this one of your lads, Gary?
Not me, Paddy, not me. But now that you mention it, your arms do look a little applied.
Applied?
Oh yeah, I know what you mean, Gary. Are those hair extensions?
I can't unsee it now.
You two are just ganging up on me.
No, we wouldn't do that. We're just concerned, Paddy. If you're lying about this, what else has been a lie?
Lying? I am in my arse lying.
Well, Paddy Fitzgibbon has some questions to answer here on the Late Late Great Debate.
Slander, Justin.
It's only slander if it's proved untrue.
But we're also getting some reports in about you, Gary.
I hear reports of what?
Oh, you're in for it now, boy.
I don't think we've fully resolved the arm hair issue yet.
Reports of what, Justin?
Well, we have an allegation that you, in fact, are not a descendant of Michael Collins, and that Collins isn't even your real name.
What? What? That's not true.
Then why don't you prove it?
Me? What about you?
Oh, I'll prove it all right. Come on, pull them.
What is your real name, Gary?
Collins.
Do you think I could have almost made the loud 1982 All-Stars with fake hair, huh? Pull them.
It says here his real name is Prendergast.
Gary Prendergast.
Take a handful and pull them.
You're besmirching my heritage here. Pull what?
Me hairs. Pull me arm hairs, Gary.
They're calling for your birth certificate, Gary. Hashtag Berthos is gaining popularity.
I think these revelations have shown just how...
Pull me arm hairs.
I'm not going to pull your arm hairs. And what about Ethna? We've all had a scandal here except her.
Well, now that you mention it...
What?
Oh, I can't.
You're just scared of the truth.
If you won't, I will. I've got the Twitter right here.
Gary.
Gary?
Gary.
No, she doesn't get off scot-free here.
Gary, please.
Oh, I'll do it myself.
John Paul Fan 1979 Hashtag LLGD.
Paddy, you're bleeding.
Ethna Harrington is gay.
That's the blood of truth, Ethna. And it's in all our hands now.
Paddy, this wasn't supposed to happen.
There are always civilian casualties in warfare. Isn't that right, Gary?
So many people just don't understand that.
But our meeting in your car.
Hold on a minute now. You had a meeting with her too.
Were you playing us both, Paddy?
I think I need an ice pack.
Well, I think we'll leave it there.
This has been the Late Late Great Debate. After the debates, the candidates needed time to focus on the election, so I didn't catch up with them until the night before the results were announced.
It's over. I haven't a chance.
That's not true. It's anyone's game.
It is. The people in this town and this country aren't ready for a politician like me.
What? Someone intelligent, qualified?
Someone gay. Most of my friends already know, of course, and my parents. But I'm more afraid of the scandal, the media frenzy. No one will take me seriously anymore.
I don't believe that. If someone would withhold a vote because of your orientation, you don't want their support anyway.
I don't want to be the token gay candidate. I want to speak for all of them.
Maybe you could go to a late mass, get it up on social media somehow. Laurel could call into the radio station and disguise her voice.
No, that's cheap, and it's too late now anyway. The count has already started.
At least you tried. You stood up and were counted. That really means something, Ethna. I'll get it.
Justin, wait. It might not be safe.
I'm sure it's fine.
Remember that scene from A Time to Kill when the KKK left a burning cross in Matthew McConaughey's front garden?
Where did that come from?
I had to start in the 90s with my pop culture research. I was quite far behind.
I doubt it's anything like that.
You're right. Jake Brigance refused to bend to overwhelming pressure, and neither will I. Oh, there's a bunch of flowers and a card. Best of luck. We're behind you all the way. The Louth LGBT Society.
What do you think about Ethna being outed?
Yeah, I was surprised to hear that. Bit disappointed, if I'm honest. I thought there might have been a bit of a spark there. She always had a smile on her face when she was ripping into me, like she didn't really mean it.
Yeah, didn't see it. Why are you staying in a hotel, Gary? Celebrating early?
No, I'm stuck here until the guards finish with my house. There's an ongoing investigation. They think Shergar might have been stashed there for a while, judging by the amount of old dung and bedding slips. Either that, or it's been used as a public toilet. It is quite close to Oriel Park. I couldn't even get my ballot card. It was posted there because it's my registered address, but I'm not allowed in the place. Technically, yes, I am a resident of the South and my candidacy for this election is valid. But I do also maintain a house in the North for car registration purposes. And the dentist is much cheaper up there as well.
Are you looking forward to the results?
Well, I am if I win. I've kind of just been doing bits and pieces the last few years, so it'd be nice to have a steady job. The Dáil is quite a big setup as well, so it'd be easy enough to keep the head down and just get by. I've heard they're fairly lax about pursuing bar tabs, so that's a plus.
I'm still recording this.
And I'm looking forward to dedicating my life to promoting the best interests of the public, sorting out the health system and all that business.
You know, there are quite a lot of people involved in the Dáil. You wouldn't be able to operate as a lone wolf anymore.
I realise that, and to be honest, I wouldn't mind it so much. I've spent so long on my own now, I've started talking to myself. You know, Justin, throughout this campaign, you have been my confidant, my ally, my closest friend.
Really? Gary, I'm flattered.
Would you do me the honour of playing me in a game of chess?
Of course. Do you have a chess set, Gary?
No.
Do you know how to play chess?
No.
Let's finish the interview. What would be the first issue you'd tackle in office?
Ah, that's easy. Bankers' salaries. Slam dunk.
Politicians' salaries are another hot-button issue. Do you intend claiming all the expenses available to you?
No, Justin. I understand the plight of the working man, and I don't see an elected post as a license to make money. I pledge, and this is on the record now, not to earn more than the average accountant during my tenure in office.
Hi, Paddy. Do you have time for a few last questions?
1 minute, Justin. I have to watch this. I've missed a lot of sport with this election stuff. Oh, nice point. That's the thing about this team. They take their chances. I must send a text to the others. Wish them luck and all that. We're on the same side, after all. Only one can get man of the match, though. Best of luck, lads. A few pints at some stage. I'll see how I am with interviews and let you know.
Paddy. See, I put in the bit about the interviews to make them think I'm going to win it. Bit of a mind game. I always was a very psychological player. There was one time I asked the defender, was his refrigerator running? He didn't say anything, but I could tell he was spooked. We won that game anyway.
Everyone else seems to be all right with Esnes coming out. What do you think?
Yeah, that now. I struggled with that. I really did. The church is fairly clear, isn't it? None of that, like. I was thinking about withdrawing from the race. But at the end of the day, no harm, no foul, live and let live. No point making a martyr of yourself. Oh, someone's recorded over the game. Every time. As if we care about the election. Oh, no, we do, of course. I thought it was a different election. I didn't see any cameras around, though. You'd think they'd want to talk to me. Ah, there he is. Eddie Cash. He captained St. Jerome's in that final. Oh, snaky player, not afraid of a high tackle either. Robbed, so we were. The backbone of our defence was injured as well. I don't know why he even bothered running for this. So no one likes him around these parts. That's my PR guy. I had meetings with him. That's him right beside Cash. What's going on? Look it. They have posters and a podium and they're handing out leaflets. I didn't have any of that. There's something not right here. Hello? Paddy here. Fitzgibbon, your other candidate in this election, it would seem. Yeah, just saw the news. Never miss it. And what about our secret plan to take the others out and have me rise to the top? Operation Toxic Floater. Oh, so you had me play Pied Piper and lead the others into a sack, only for us all to be tossed into the river like a litter of unwanted kittens. But why? To keep me tied up so I wouldn't distract from Cash. Your real sports/businessman of the people candidate. So what was I? A placeholder? A substitute? I didn't even get on the squad. Beaten again by Eddie Cash.
I knew about Operation Toxic Floater, Paddy.
Well, why didn't you say something?
It was good radio.
My name is Ethna Harrington. I'm a teacher and one-time Dáil candidate. It was a disappointment. I did think I'd do better than 46 first preferences. But after 6 hours and no transfers, I just gave up and came home. It was 4 months ago now, wasn't it? Yeah. I have to say, I'm in a better place. Calmer, happier, more at ease with myself. That's probably from coming out. Laurel has moved in with me and it's great. Would I be as happy if I were a politician? I don't know. I don't really think about it.
Gary Collins is my name. Yes, I've kept it. It's been so long now, that's what people know me as. It's nearly a stage name and it's helpful in my new line of work. I've set up a business bringing American tourists over for the 1916 centenary. Michael Collins toured the country as a general, so there's something of note in every town. We've sold out every bed and breakfast in Carrickastook for 6 months because his dog was from there, supposedly. Would I be making the same money in government? Not honestly, anyway. This way I'm honouring my heritage as well. I've hired a genealogist. Myself and Liam Neeson could have ties going back about 100 years. Even better.
Paddy Fitzgibbon. Just Paddy Fitzgibbon. I thought it was for me. Sport, then business, then politics. Like Arnie. But no. The deck was stacked against me. Our dear leaders used me as a pawn in their great game of Scrabble. Used me, then tossed me aside like a dirty nappy. Or tissue. Or something else that you'd only use once before disposing of. Oh, it has changed me. I've realised there's more to life than winning. Sport isn't the main thing anymore. I'm organising a charity football match in aid of middle-aged men with sports-related injuries. Trying to give something back. Yeah, I am walking a little bit stiff these days. It's an old battle wound, and the cold doesn't do it any favours. You just carry on, though. This is it.
My time with the candidates had come to an end. During the days we spent together, I learned about their somewhat misguided aspirations. Their belief that they could be somebody, go somewhere. What had started as a documentary about three Irish political hopefuls had quickly turned into an exploration of hopeless Irish politics. I finally realised that these people, desperate for acceptance and approval from the disillusioned public, needed only to approve of and accept themselves to fit into the battered and broken Irish political spectrum. I joined Gary, Ethna, and even Paddy, not on the road to power, but on the road to freedom. And at the end of the day, that is all that really matters.
The Seats was produced by Conor McGinnity and co-written by Cormac McAdam and was supported by a grant from the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee. To listen back to this or any other Newstalk documentary, go to newstalk.com/documentary on Newstalk.